I'll be reading from Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on the account for which I am in prison, that I may make it clear this is how I ought to speak.
There are certain things about God that I will never know about. That's why little verses like Deuteronomy 29:29 are in the Bible. Secret things belong to the Lord. The fact of the matter is, my peanut brain will never be able to fully conceptualize and understand the greatness of Almighty God. And quite frankly, it's not up to me or you to understand Him. The task and the privilege we have is to humbly obey and submit to Him. Nevertheless, it still does get to me at times that I don't get it. Certain concepts I don't fully understand, and you probably are like that in certain areas of Christianity and with certain traits about God. Well, I want to talk tonight about one that I just don't fully understand. I use the word a lot. I like to throw the word out there. And when I throw out that word, it's a description of what God is doing, His activity in life. And I throw it out there because I want to be a person that earmarks all of these situations and these opportunities in life as a way to credit God. And here's the word: providence. And I want to see from Scripture about God's providence, and I want to illustrate it with Tom Hanks. So in Apollo 13, I know, a sentence you probably thought you'd never hear. In Apollo 13, Tom Hanks is having an interview, and he's about to set off in the space shuttle to go up, and you know how the whole thing's going. Well, he's in an interview on TV, and the reporter says, "Tell me about a time you've been afraid. Things didn't seem like they were going to turn out well." Here's what he said: "You know, I think I can recall one. I was in a Banshee at night, combat conditions, over the Sea of Japan. Everything was jamming. My homing signal particularly was jammed. Somebody else was using it, and I was actually being led in the wrong direction, so I turned it off and disregarded it. At that point, I'd been so beat up, the electrical gauges started to flicker on and off. I flipped on the map light, and then all of a sudden, everything shorted out in front of me in the cockpit. I couldn't even tell what my altitude was, along with many other things. I'm running out, low on fuel. Said I'm actually thinking about ditching into the ocean." You can almost see Tom Hanks. The sense of calm comes over him as he's expressing the story. He says, "But then something appeared in the darkness of the ocean beneath me. It was a green trail. It was like this long carpet just laid out right beneath me. And it was the algae, you know, that phosphorescent stuff that gets churned up in the wake of a big ship." He says, "It was just leading me home. And if my cockpit lights hadn't shorted out," he said, "there's no way I would have been able to see that." A few moments pass. He says, "And you never know what events are going to transpire to get you home." Obviously, that's not a true story. But there's something within that story that I think can illustrate a characteristic of God In Colossians chapter 4, the text that was read for us just a few moments ago, there's almost a description of that carpet-like substance that Tom Hanks was talking about. And did you catch it? Because it wasn't, the Bible doesn't say algae or phosphorescent stuff. Here's what the Bible describes it as. In verse 3, at the same time, pray for us also that God may open a door, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ. The Bible describes it as God opening to us a door of opportunity to share and to spread the gospel of Jesus. I don't know exactly how to describe to you what providence is, but a couple of times within the New Testament, there is this phrase of opening a door of opportunity. Here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 is one of those situations. And being as he is, in the state that he is, in prison, according to verse 3, he was still asking Christians to pray for him so that God would open a door of opportunity to speak to somebody about the gospel. Does that sound familiar? Why would he make a statement like that? Because he's been through a situation like that in a previous time of life. When, in the midst of his circumstances being imprisoned, doors were opened. Men were afraid. He shared the gospel and the soul was saved. I don't exactly know what providence means. But I'm convinced the more I read Scripture that God is at work in, around, in front, behind, above, below us all the time. And one particular place that I see God at work in Scripture is in the conversion of souls. As souls come to Christ. Think about this. Some of the most important people in your life. Did you predict that you would meet them? Did you predict how you would meet them, when you would meet them? And did you know about them before they knew about you? Well, there might be some creepy people in the audience who could say yes to that. I give my older sister a hard time. Before her now husband even knew she existed, she picked him out at like 8 years old. She's like one of those creepy stalkers that got lucky, I tell her all the time. But outside of her, I'm looking at my wife. I didn't know about her. I didn't know we would meet. As a matter of fact, the first time we saw each other in Pizza Hut, I was sweet on another girl. And then she walked in and my world changed. Some of the most important people in your life, you have stories like that, don't you? God works in that way, in converting souls in Scripture, and I still believe He does it today. But I want to prove it to you from Scripture, and then I want to talk about it within our life and see what you think. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 is another one of these phrases like we read about in Colossians chapter 4. So turn there. So in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul's speaking here, obviously, the Corinthian church. And notice in verse 12, he says this. He's describing a previous situation. I want you to listen to this. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though, watch this, a door was opened for me in the Lord. That's our phrase. My spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. So he was saying, God provided an opportunity, a providential open door of opportunity for me in that place. And then he described another situation that he was upset with because he couldn't find his ministry partner, Titus. But disregarding the Titus situation, notice how he describes the preaching in Troas as an open door of opportunity to share the gospel. Where did that happen within Scripture? That's in Acts chapter 16. So keep on flipping with me. I know I'm taking you to several different places. But I want to piece this together to fill your heart with a message about the greatness of our God at work. from 2 Corinthians 2:12, going back to Acts chapter 16, this is where he is in Troas, but let's start back up in verse 8. Acts 16, verse 8. So, passing by Mysia, I don't really know how to say it, they went down to Troas. There's our town. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, he immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, verse 11, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside. Watch this. Where we supposed there was a place of prayer. Not we knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not we had previous experience and we got mail that there were going to be a bunch of Christians worshiping. But where we supposed that there would be a place of prayer. And so following that thought, they went out to that place, the Bible says, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And so they went to a place where they thought Christians would be. And being there amongst those Christians, they spoke to a bunch of them, not probably having known any of them previous to this situation. So they're in a new place, a new group of worship, with new people they probably had not met before, verse 14. And one who heard us was a woman named Lydia. The fact that he had to describe who she was, where she was from, and what she did tells me she was a stranger, not only to them in that moment, but also to the recipients of this letter, Acts, Theophilus. Her name was Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. But watch this. What did God do in a strange city, at a strange location, with a stranger? The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. So she was baptized, her household was baptized, and she urged them, "If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And they did. In a new place, new congregation, and a stranger, God providentially worked to save a family. And there's no telling how many people have been saved because of this strange woman's example, Lydia. And a group of men who decided to follow the providential leading and guidance of God. God works. I hear this a lot. In mysterious ways. You know, that's actually not a Bible verse. This is what you should say. God works in providential ways. Of all the translations in Colossians 4:3 and 2 Corinthians 2:12, there's only one translation that translates the word "open the door of opportunity" as providence. It was called the Weymouth Literal Translation. The point is this. God working providentially means that He is working on the heart of somebody in and around your life that you may not be thinking about, that you may not be anticipating, that you may not be specifically praying for. Here's my thought, especially as we're about to turn back to Acts chapter 2. I want you to see how most of the people we see God providentially working out the salvation in their life, they were people that these men did not see coming. Watch it unfold before your very eyes. Turn back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. By the way, let me just give you a side note too. This is free of charge. So the phrase "open door of opportunity" has within it several words. One word is door, like a literal door opening, whether it's a gate, a wooden structure, or just a hole in a fence, that was clearly the open door. But when it becomes a godly thing, then another word is associated with it. A door, literally, of opportunity. of divine intervention. Meaning, it's not just some door you walk through, but maybe a metaphorical door of opportunity that God is going to work through. And that's why the translated phrase is open door of opportunity, because it has within it a divinely inspired situation and working of God. That's pretty neat. So we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. That's talking about the disciples, the 120 from Acts chapter 1. Well, when God's people are together, God is working providentially. There is no telling what God's going to do within this group right here tonight. No clue. God might be working something within somebody's heart that's going to come to fruition, and there's going to be some fruit of the spiritual work that's being done on a heart tonight. Whether it's directly from this group, a group watching online, or maybe somebody that you're going to be moved to talk to later this week. There's no telling what happens providentially when God's people are together in one place. And we should long for that. We should look forward to that and anticipate being together with God's people. So they were together in one place, which, by the way, not going to get sidetracked. And suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They did not know that was going to happen in that place at that time. Yes, Jesus said it's going to happen soon. It's going to happen when the Spirit comes from on high, but they didn't know when. So you know what they did? I bet they prayerfully anticipated it and were together thinking about its coming and the Spirit's arrival, waiting for God to providentially work. Here's another providential factor, verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Do you think that those people knew what was about to happen? No. No way. If the apostles didn't know it, those Jews definitely didn't know it. And it was a bunch of Jews from every place. And they were astounded and astonished. And their ears were drawn to the speaking because each one heard in their own tongue. God's providence. Working to open doors of opportunity to share the gospel for the salvation of a soul. And it happens over and over again. Look at chapter 3. Acts 3 verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. This was the custom for a lot of apostles. This was definitely Jesus' custom. He went into a place, he went to the synagogue and he spoke and he taught and he read from Scripture. Well, the apostles carried on this tradition, this way of life. And so Peter and John, they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. There's nothing crazy about this. This is two people doing something that was normal to them. But when we are caught up in the normal, God is working something providential. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that's called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And so the conversation continues. Peter said, "I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but what I do have, I give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Two things. Number one, we ought to use the name of Jesus more often. We need to gather in the name of Jesus. We need to pray in the name of Jesus. We need to get together as families in the name of Jesus. We worship in the name of Jesus. We sing in the name of Jesus. I go to work. You go to work on Monday and Tuesday in the name of Jesus. I love that he said in the name of Jesus. Secondly, though, you think they knew that that man was going to be there? Do you think they had an anticipation that when they woke up that morning, I need to go to the temple because there's going to be some lame man sitting there who's going to need what we have, Jesus? No. These were men of God going about normal activities that they went about doing. And what was happening? God's providential work. Open door of opportunity. So just like Lydia, the seller of purple goods, She was baptized in her household. This man rose up. He walked. Forgiveness of sins happened. And the people were amazed at this. They were so amazed at this that even the governing officials and the elites of the town, they heard about it because word was spreading. When God's providence is at work and people are willing to submit to that, news spreads quickly. And so as the story would unfold, skipping down to chapter 4, as they were speaking to the people, verse 1, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus, in Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. Skip to verse 5. After they got arrested for doing that, verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And what do? They set God's men in their midst. And setting God's men in their midst, Peter and John, they inquired, by what power, by what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke to them. Do you think that he knew when he woke up the previous day, he would meet a lame man who needed Jesus' healing, would be in a prison situation, arrested situation, where the elite of the elite in the area would be able to hear the gospel of Christ? No. He was a man of God, going about normal life, to which God opened a door of opportunity and he went for it. I could go on and on, showing and proving from the scriptures that most of these people who were converted to Christ, the men and women of God didn't see coming. Why am I making that point to you tonight? Because I want you to believe and be empowered by the providential work of God in our lives. I also don't want us to be a group of people who limit what God is doing within our own lives. Yes, you need to be praying for certain souls. Yes, you have on your heart a list of people you hope to have an open door of opportunity to share the gospel with. Pray for those people. But here's another prayer that we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying daily, God, as I go about my normal routine of life, you will providentially work. Help me to see it and to walk through the open door of opportunity with faith and courage and the gospel of Christ. Because who but God knows what open door he might provide as God's people go about normal routines of life. And when that door is presented, in the name of Jesus, walk through with courage and faith and conviction. Because even though you didn't see that person coming, what if God did? And even though you never had any idea the situation would confront you and hit you in the face, what if God did? And I believe He does. And so for you to say no would be to say no to the providential working of Christ, of our Lord God. So in the name of Jesus, walk through. God's people, when we're gathered together, there's no telling what God is working, both now and moving forward in the future. I want you to be empowered with belief and conviction that God is alive. I know that my Redeemer lives and He's active and He's opening doors of opportunity. And even though you may not see it coming, I know that God does. So let's not be limiting to God's power and God's activity. Yes, give Him your list. Yes, give Him the names. But please pray general statements that you would submit yourself. God, let me submit myself to your will. Help me to see the open doors. And then walk through with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. eyes of faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why the proverb writer in Proverbs chapter 4 could make a statement like this. I'm reading a chapter of Proverbs every day. If you're not doing something like that, you need to. It's been fascinating. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Why straight before you? Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If we direct ourselves to Jesus, it's not about our perfection, but rather our direction. Directing our eyes to Jesus with faith, we see open doors. We see opportunistic situations that God's providing for us. So I'm going to close tonight. With these statements. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert. In other words, stay awake. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, Paul says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. When you are empowered with the belief and understanding of the providential work of God in life, you pray prayers like Paul just spoke. And you encounter situations like Peter and John faced. And you see the conversion of souls. It's a mark of the Lord's church. And I hope we do our part, as I know and am convinced more and more that God is continually and will always do His part. What is God doing at work within us? You know, Apollo 13, when he said, there's no telling how the events will transpire. I'll lead you home. I don't know if you anticipated having that prick in your heart tonight by the message of the gospel, but I bet God knew how the events would transpire that might lead you home. So if you're in need of coming home, which means being in a right relationship with your Lord, let us help you with that tonight. Let's stand up and sing together.